Welcome back. This week I want to talk about dealing with discouragement. Discouragement can be traumatizing in anyone's life. We might deal with it on a daily basis. It may be deeply embedded in our heart, and we don't even recognize that it has been planted and rooted inside of us. It plans to stay and set up permanent residence while terrorizing our every step. When we want to do anything for God, discouragement renders us helpless and hopeless in accomplishing any task. Discouragement can be described as a loss of confidence or enthusiasm, an attempt to prevent something by showing disapproval or creating difficulties. It can also cause depression. Let's look into the Word of God and see how discouragement displays itself, the effect upon those who are overcome by it, and what God says about dealing with discouragement. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, and see our first example. In this chapter, the Israelites had left Egypt and come to the Red Sea. They couldn't cross the sea, for it was deep. Pharaoh, in the meantime, had left Egypt and started pursuing after the Israelites. Verse 10 says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.'" I want you to know that discouragement does not use the front door when it wants to come into your mind. It uses the back door. We may have just moved forward in our walk with the Lord, and suddenly, when we reach a certain point, it feels to us as if we are up against a wall and cannot move forward. Then, as the devil normally does, he throws something at us in order to distract our attention away from God. That something is fear. Fear always prevents us from moving to the future by keeping us chained down to and held captive by the past. It impacts our thinking and decision-making in negative ways. Now, not all fear is bad. Some fear is good. Psalms 111 verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This particular type of fear is a reverent fear. It says that one recognizes the power of God and realizes that, in comparison to Him, we may feel like little ants that crawl on the ground. But also, this particular type of fear stands in amazement that God loves us and wants to take care of us. We may feel so insignificant to Him, but God values us highly and loves us despite our imperfections. This is a healthy type of fear. The other type of fear, which is what the devil gives, thrusts terror into our mind and lets it start to flow into our spirit. It produces unpleasant emotions by the belief that God has put us into seemingly impossible situations just to watch us be defeated and humiliated because of our shortcomings. Thinking about this type of fear is impossible for anyone who fears the Lord. Psalms 23 tells us that He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us down the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That doesn't sound like someone who desires to abandon us and not want what is best for us. The one who doesn't want what is best for us is the devil. He'd like to discourage us and keep us discouraged, so that we cannot believe in God's saving and keeping power that is always available to us. In fact, the devil would like you to be as miserable as he is, so that you will come to a point where you just absolutely hate God like he does. He wants you to hate the thoughts of God, hate to read his word, hate to go to church, and hate others. The devil has many ways of keeping you from God and from your believing brothers and sisters. Discouragement is a major way that he accomplishes that. The children of Israel found themselves between what we call a rock and a hard place, meaning that there seemed like nowhere to go ahead of them and nowhere to go behind them. They felt as if they were trapped. They took their eyes off of God and put them on the circumstances around them. It didn't take but a few seconds before they were complaining and longing to be in bondage again in Egypt, where they had just left. Even though it was hard physical labor and hard emotional torment in Egypt, they wanted to go back because the trust that God wanted them to develop just was not a part of their vision yet. They had left Egypt, but Egypt hadn't left them. Sometimes it takes a while to detox ourselves from sinful thinking and accept a higher way of thinking, which is God's way. I have read before that it takes as long as 40 days before many can change a habit, which, in this case, was their way of thinking. The problem is that they often reverted back to what they knew and had known for a very long time because they didn't realize that God can do more than their finite minds can imagine. Isaiah chapter 55 says that God's thoughts and ways are higher than our ways. In difficult times, we try to fix things with our thinking and our ways. Without trusting in the Lord, though, we cannot go higher with God's thoughts because we let ourselves be led around in circles by our own thoughts. We constantly revisit our problems with our minds and don't see a way out of what we may be caught in. But God knows how to open a way for us to go forward, and He will take us through safely. And just as the Israelites crossed to the other side, being chased by Pharaoh's army, so the devil will chase you and I through the pathway that we go, and he will find the waters falling in on him, drowning his once strong tactics of discouraging us, while we are following the Lord's way that he had opened up. Another scripture I want to point out is Numbers 21, verse 4. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Another way that discouragement affects us is when we have to wait. It can be so hard to wait for the Lord's promise to be fulfilled. Sometimes God promises us something big, but days go by, then weeks, months, and even years. Suddenly we grow tired of waiting for it to happen. We begin to question whether or not we actually heard from God. And this question only comes when we hit a low point in our lives. Low points come to all of us. It may be a time when someone hurt us or there is a death in the family. Some may lose their job or their house burns down. Anything bad that happens may bring us some pain and cause us to feel a little defeated. That's the point at which the devil brings up the fact that God's promise to us hasn't come to pass yet. He begins to say that it should have happened already. Then he may say that we have done something wrong by committing a sin. By the way, we all sin occasionally, even after we are born again. 1 John 1:9 emphasizes that. After the devil says these things, while we are in the middle of our deep hurt, we question whether we did actually hear God promise us what we have been waiting for. I want to repeat this statement as I have several times before. It's okay to have a question for God, but it is a sin to question God. Questioning God is doubting His power and ability to operate in our lives, regardless of whether we sin or not. It may be true that some sin may delay a promise from being fulfilled, but all we have to do is repent of sin and go forward with no condemnation. Our past cannot be changed, but our heart can. Seeking God in times of repentance sets us back on track for receiving the promise from God for our life. How many Christians have gone on to glory without receiving a promise from God because they let their past sins dominate their thinking? We cannot go forward by holding on to our past, but by letting it go and grabbing God's hand, the hand that holds the future. At the time of this verse, Israel had just recently come out of Egypt. They were impatient because they had not let go of the past and embraced the promise of God for their future. Holding on to God makes us feel content and calms our inner being. We don't feel the need to rush into anything because we know that it will happen, and not that it might. When we travel, our destination may not be in sight yet, but we know that it is ahead of us. We just need to be patient and enjoy the journey. When it comes to our promise from God, we will arrive at our destination because of Him who promised us the destination and His ability to get us there by His Holy Spirit within us. So far, we've seen how fear and impatience work to discourage us. Now let's look at one more way that we get discouraged, and that is through bad news. Numbers 32 verse 9 says, "For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them." This refers to the account of Numbers chapter 13, when the 12 spies were sent into the promised land to spy out the land. Of the 12 spies, 10 of them gave a fearful report, and only 2 gave a good report. Their names are Caleb and Joshua. The 10 said that there was no way that they could defeat the people, but Caleb and Joshua insisted that with God, they could definitely overcome the land. The people of Israel chose to believe the bad report, and it cost them 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. How many times have we heard some bad news about our promise from God being fulfilled, and we just lied down and believed it? If the majority of proof pointed to defeat, as with the Israelites, would we place our belief in God, whom we cannot see, or in the so-called proof that we can see? In Numbers chapter 32, verse 9, it says that these 10 spies discouraged the heart of the children of Israel with their report. Another word for discouraged in this verse is restrained. Any bad report, if we let it, will tie us up and hinder our efforts to succeed. Bad news can hold us in one spot and keep us back from advancing forward. Through the avenue of the mind, the devil uses bad news to freeze us in our tracks and prevent us from going any further. This is why Romans 12 verse 2 says that we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Being conformed means that one is molded or pressed into a different shape, like a potter pressing the clay into whatever shape he wants the clay to be. This world, with its constant flow of bad news, can shape and form our minds into garbage buckets instead of vessels ready for use by the master potter, God Almighty. All bad news can seem so real, but as I've heard before, faith is not denying the truth, but acknowledging the greater truth of God's Word, which does not bow down in the face of bad news. We need to introduce the bad news to the good news of the gospel, which towers over any and every bad news, no matter what height the bad news raises itself up to. Bad news is just another opportunity for God to show up and show off in front of the devil's face. Hallelujah! Fear, impatience, and bad news cannot discourage us when we put our hope and faith in God's love, His constant strength, and His positive message to our hearts. Now, here are a few verses to help encourage us when Satan is trying to discourage us. The first one is when Joshua, the new leader of the children of Israel, was about to lead the people into the promised land. God told him, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, nor intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God told Joshua this at least 3 times before the moment of conquest began. We should constantly remind ourselves of God's promises, His ability to fulfill what He promises, and praise Him for the promises even before they come to pass in our lives. This would help us keep our eyes upon the Lord so that we can receive what He promises to us. Another verse is found in Isaiah 41, verse 10, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed or anxious, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." God has promised to strengthen, help, and uphold us when times come that could discourage us. Looking to God for strength and help would cause the effects of fear and anxiety to be stopped. They will not be able to bring us down. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation or distress, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." His words here let us know that, yes, discouragement will come to us. Denying that it will never come is foolish. Jesus said that we will have distress in this world, but while we cannot keep it from coming to us, we don't have to let it come inside of us. By depending upon Jesus, who defeated its effects upon him, we too can have the same victory over it that he has. He is our champion, and we are more than conquerors through him. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10, that he and those with him were troubled on every side, yet not distressed. They were perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. They were always carrying around the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in their bodies. Paul and his companions had a lot happening to them. However, they always kept the resurrection power of Christ as their inspiration for making it through hard times that would try to discourage them. We probably feel like we also have had a lot happening to us. But whether we have had a lot or little happening to us, the method of victory over discouragement remains the same. And it is to remember that since God has the victory through Christ Jesus, he is more than able to help us when we have anything happening to us instead of for us. One final verse that I want to share is close to my heart. Psalms 42 verse 5 says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again for the help of his presence." When life does get us down and discouraged, we just need to hope in God again and start to praise him. There were many times in my life that I had been depressed because of discouragement. After God rescued me from the paralyzing effects of depression, I knew how to quickly put discouragement down so that it would no longer bring me down. Praising God, even when I hurt the most, helps to lift me up because it stirs my faith in him and his ability to rescue me before I fall down to depression again. As electricity needs to flow out through the power lines and loop around back to the power plant, we need to praise God so that the constant flow of his power can keep coming back to us. By praising the Lord constantly, we receive more of his power flowing into and through us, affecting both us and those around us. We can be used by God to help others who are discouraged. We ought to live a life of praise to God continually. Psalms 34 verse 1 says that his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Why must we do this? Because discouragement never takes a day off. It's never sick and in bed. It is right outside of our home. It's in every dark corner of this world, just waiting for the opportunity to bring us down. Praise God for his encouragement that we can carry inside of us wherever we are in this discouraging world. We no longer have to let discouragement come into our lives to ruin us and rule over us. Let's look to God for the answer, for he is so lovingly willing to help us if we would just call upon him. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who have been burdened down with discouragement in their lives to the point that they feel like there is no hope. Show them or remind them that you are more powerful than any and all things that can discourage us, no matter how strong the power of discouragement may feel to them. You are our way out of discouragement, if we will just trust in you to help us. May we keep praising you so that your strength, which brings victory over discouragement, may constantly lift us up. And if we lose sight of you, may we be quick to repent and look to you again, so that you can raise us back up to where you created us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.